Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to this month's binge coaching call. I am so excited to be here with you all today. I am Jane Pilger. I am also known as Corinne's bestie. I have been around the old No BS program for a long time, and I love talking about and coaching on binge eating. It is a topic that is very personal to me. It is a journey that I have been on and experienced myself. And I now also, in addition to being Corinne's bestie, I am a binge eating coach. I have my own coaching practice over at janepilger.com. And I am here to talk to you all today about urges specifically as it relates to binging. So I'm going to talk just for a few minutes about urges, some of the ways that I think about things. And if you would like to be coached, please raise your hand. We will absolutely do some live coaching today. If you have any questions, put them in the Q&A. We will also take care of them there. So urges, if you have not yet listened to the new module 3 inside the No BS Weight Loss Program, I encourage you all to do so. It is incredible. There is such amazing information available for you there on urges so that you can understand what urges are, why we have them, how we all have urges, why it is so normal, and how you can learn to work with your urges, how you can learn what the urges really have to teach you. We can learn so much from our urges to eat, our urges to binge, when we are open to get curious about them and what they have for us. So one of the things that I love to think about with a binge or even an urge to binge, to me, it is like the lights on a dashboard, like the check engine light on a dashboard. So we don't get mad at the light. We don't get mad at that. We look, when we see that check engine light, what do we know? Oh, there's something going on underneath the hood. Okay, now what am I going to do? I'm going to lift the hood and I'm going to look underneath to see if I can figure out what is going on. What is making this light, the check engine light, go on? And if I can get curious and if I can figure out the thing that is making the light go on, the light is going to go off on its own. We don't have to put duct tape over the light and try to pretend like it's not there. We don't have to do anything to make it go away. What we do is we look under the hood. We see what is going on here. What's making the light turn on? Then we get curious and we figure that out. Now, here's the biggest thing that is going to prevent you from even opening your hood to see what's going on is shame and judgment. If we have shame and judgment about the behavior, shame and judgment sounds like, I can't believe I did this again. What's wrong with me? I'm broken. I'll never figure this out. Those sentences lead you to feel shame and judgment. When you are feeling shame and judgment about your binges, about your eating behavior, it's like literally like putting a 50-pound weight on top of the hood. We can't even open the hood to see what's going on underneath because you've got so much shame and judgment there. We need to remove the shame and judgment so we can get underneath and say, what's going on? What is going on underneath here? Okay, there are four things that I like to talk about that are ways that you can respond to an urge. Four ways. One, you can allow it. You can argue with it. You can act on it. You can avoid it. Allow, act, argue, avoid. If you act on an urge, that basically looks like this. Let's just keep food as an example. It's like, I'm sitting here, I'm working on a project. It's getting kind of hard. I don't really know the answer. All of a sudden, my brain's like, ooh, you know what would be really good right now? A snack. And I just get up and I go straight to the pantry and I have a snack. That's acting on it. You have the idea, you have the thought, you just, boom, you act on it. You're driving on the freeway. Somebody, cuts in front of you and you just slam on the horn, right? You have this urge to get really upset. You just act on it. So that's acting. We can argue with the urge. Let's say generally my urges happen at 8 o'clock at night after dinner's done, everything. I sit on the couch. That's when my urges usually come. I sit down, the urges come, and I'm like, oh, here they are again. I can't believe it. I can't believe I'm having to deal with this again. I don't want this to be here. When will my urges ever go away? That's arguing. It's like we don't even want them to be here. We just want them to be gone forever. That's arguing with our urges. We can avoid them. That looks like you have an urge, something happens, and then you just get busy. You're like, oh, you know what? I'm just going to go work. I'm going to go do this thing. We kind of do anything to but actually connect with ourselves, connect with our body, connect with what's going on. So it might look like just working. It might look like taking on tasks, anything that we just kind of either do. Maybe we just watch Netflix. Like it could, anything to avoid actually tuning in to see what's happening. What is going on here? What's going on underneath the hood? If we're avoiding, we're not looking under the hood. Now, the last thing you can do with an urge is allow it. When we allow an urge, it looks like tuning into yourself. It is lifting up the hood. What's going on? What's going on in here? In Module 3, Corinne teaches a beautiful concept, which is pause. Number one, just pause. When you notice this happening, give yourself some space. When we have an urge, it generally is coming from the survival part of our brain, the part of our brain that wants that immediate gratification, that immediate response. When we can pause, what we do is we're giving the logical part of our brain some time to get on board, to come into the conversation. So pausing is step number one. Then if you can put your hand on your heart, if this feels safe to you, it does not always feel safe for some people to put their hand on their heart or on their chest. If this is you, if there is some other place you can put your hand on yourself that feels more safe, experiment with that. What might that be? Sometimes it can even be the cheek, like one or both cheeks. Sometimes even behind the neck. You could do the side of your leg. Just experiment. If you put your hand on your chest, one or both hands on your chest, and that does not feel good or comforting to you, experiment with other ways that you can physically make contact with yourself. And just ask yourself the question, what do I need? What do I really need in this moment? I can promise you when we're talking about urges to eat, what we actually need is rarely food. Now, sometimes it is. If you have not been eating enough, sometimes it truly is a girl, just please, I need some food. So sometimes it is. But so often there's something else going on. Maybe you need some rest. Maybe you just need to know everything's going to be okay. Maybe you need to just take a break. Who knows, whatever that need might be, literally you are the only one that can know. And if you give yourself space to answer the question, what do I really need right now? You will answer yourself. Now, what you want to do when you ask that question, give yourself time, give yourself a little bit of time and space, and listen for the still small voice. The loud primal brain who is in survival mode is going to say, you need food. We need chips, stat. We need pizza. Whatever the thing is that we think we need, it very well may be very loudly saying, this is what we need. It's like, okay, well, what else? If it's not that, what is it? We can also ask, what am I trying? Is there a feeling, an emotion I am trying to create or avoid? What do I think food is going to solve? If I eat right now, what am I trying to solve for? Is food really going to solve for this? Now, it's not always easy. I will tell you, it is not always easy to bring that logical brain on board when you are in the moment of an urge, when you are in the moment of wanting to eat or already eating. It takes time, skill, and practice. If this is something new to you, it is not going to happen. Well, it might. It might happen overnight. It does for some people. But if it doesn't, there is nothing wrong with you. We have to practice bringing conscious awareness into our experiences. We are so used to being on autopilot all the time. What we're doing is we are not allowing ourselves to go on autopilot anymore. So even if you do decide to eat, it's like, okay, I'm going to eat, but I'm going to do something different this time. I'm going to think about what I'm thinking about while I'm eating. I'm really going to pay attention. What's going through my mind? Am I willing to just have a piece of paper next to me and just jot down all the sentences flowing through my mind? Am I willing to see what's here, to really look at what's under the hood? What is going on here? If you can change your relationship with your urges, you will absolutely transform your relationship with food overall. There is no perfectionist fantasy here. There is no world where you never have urges again. You will very likely have urges for food. You will also have urges for other things in your life, urges to get really upset with somebody, urges to, I was just on a call before this. It was a call with several people. All I wanted to do was like turn it off and go do something else. I had the urge to kind of check out of that meeting to go do something else, but I didn't. I noticed it and I'm like, yeah, that's really what I would love to do, but I'm here. This is what I'm choosing to do. So we're always going to have urges to do various things, right? And so if we can notice when we have urges to do things that we know aren't necessarily going to get us where we want to go, we just notice them. We get curious about them. When they increase, oh, something's going on here. Something's happening under the hood. So I can get curious about that. The way that you and I and all of us respond to our urges is absolutely going to create our experience of life. We are all going to have urges throughout the rest of our lives. It's what we do with them, how we respond to them, what we make when those sentences show up in our minds, what we make that mean about ourselves. That's the magic, is what we decide to make those sentences mean, what we decide, how we decide we're going to show up around them. All right, let's see. Any questions? Raise your hands if you would like to be coached. Okay, I have a question. Is it okay if you are struggling with a traumatic experience? Example, my family has fallen apart. Holidays are often a stressful time as I'm dealing, processing this unexpected tragic change in family dynamic. We chose to binge over dealing with the feelings. I was just physically, mentally, emotionally unable to process it at that time, and I chose to binge knowing I wasn't even hungry. However, it was a conscious decision that I made in the moment and met myself where I was. Let me tell you this. I love that you asked this question, because you always, always, always have permission to binge. You always have permission to eat. Always. Always. Sometimes that is the best way you can take care of yourself in that moment. Sometimes it is. And if that's the case, yes, choose it. But here's what I would love for you to do. If you are in that moment and you're like, you know what? This all feels too big to me. This all feels like too much. And I am going to choose to eat because right in this moment, I do not think that I can handle these feelings. I'm going to give you a couple of options. Number one, you could ask yourself, could I possibly experience just a tablespoon of whatever feeling that feels very overwhelming? So maybe I'm feeling grief. Maybe I'm feeling overwhelmed. Maybe I'm feeling sad, disappointed. Can I give myself 30 seconds so that I'm not perpetuating the black and the white, the all or nothing? I'm either going to binge, I'm going to feel zero feelings, or I'm afraid I won't ever stop. Can I just experience it for 30 seconds and also know that I can always go binge at any time? That's an invitation you can give yourself. If the answer is no, I can't do that right now, that's okay. It is always okay. You can always binge. Here's one thing that's very important for all of you to know. If food has been something that has been a source of comfort for you, that you have, let's say you've been binging for a long time. Let's say you decided you figured out that eating was a way that you could meet certain needs that weren't being met at the time. When you did that, when you figured that out, you were doing the best thing that you could for yourself at that time. As now you are progressing into a different person, you are learning how to meet your needs in different ways, you will eventually get to the place where you don't need to turn to the food for those emotions. But there can be, for some people, a transition period. And it's important that we don't just take the food away from you. If the food has been the only thing that you've had, you want to know that it's always there. It is there. It is available. But you also want to give yourself some other options. Okay, the food is there for me. What else might I try? I can always go to the food for sure. And if I know that long term, this isn't what I want to do, is there something else that maybe I could do? Maybe I give myself 30 seconds to feel this emotion, then I know I can always go to the food. Okay, if I do decide I want to go to the food and I am using the food instead of feeling these emotions that feel too big for me, okay, yes, I'm going to choose that. And can I also, while I am consciously choosing this, can I also choose to eat in a way that actually feels supportive to me, both in this moment and when I'm done? So what might that look like? Okay, if I usually binge while I'm standing up on the phone, eating in such large quantities that I feel terrible afterwards, if I'm going to consciously choose to eat so that I don't have to feel these other emotions right now, first of all, we need to acknowledge that food doesn't make them go away. They'll still be there. They will still be there for you. So the food is kind of just like, it's just covering them up temporarily. So number one, we acknowledge that, like, okay, these emotions are still going to be here for me. I'm not making them actually go away. I'm just kind of just choosing to just kind of mask them for a moment. But if I'm going to do that, can I do it in a way that is supporting me both while I eat and afterwards? So if I am consciously choosing this to support myself, how can I do it in a more supportive way than what I've done in the past? So again, we're actually in the process of creating new pathways and creating new responses. Again, this doesn't have to be black and white. Like, I either binge or I don't binge, and those are my only options. If I am still going to use food in this way that I'm trying to support myself, in what ways can I make this a more supportive experience? Then maybe I sit down and I just get curious, like, okay, what do I think? Let's say I do decide I'm going to do that. All right, what do I think this food is going to do for me? I'm going to write that down. Then maybe afterwards, I ask myself, did it work? Did the food do what I actually thought it would? It's an amazing question to ask yourself, and only you will know. Only you can answer, yeah, it actually did. Or, you know what, I kind of used to think it did, but now I see. Sometimes we think food makes feelings go away. But I would challenge that, in that I generally have never had an experience where if I'm having feelings and then I eat, there may be some temporary masking, but those feelings actually don't go away. As soon as I come back to myself, reconnect with myself, all those feelings I had before, they're still there. And then I've got new ones on top, right? So maybe it's the shame, maybe it's the judgment, maybe it's like the physical discomfort, whatever else, on top of all those other feelings that never really went away. The feelings don't go away. We go away from ourselves, right? The feelings don't go away. The feelings stay there. We're the ones who go away from ourselves. And then we come back and, oh my gosh, all those feelings, all that stuff, it's still there on top of whatever else comes with it as a result of eating in that way. So the answer is yes, you can always, always, always choose to binge. You can always choose to eat, always. Nobody is taking that away from you. Nobody. And you need to be sure that you're not taking it away from yourself if that feels like you need that for some safety reasons. But then we just get really curious. What is this really doing for me? Am I really supporting myself? Can I do this in a more supportive way? What do I think this is doing for me? And is it really working? Such amazing questions you can ask yourself. Okay, question. What if my urges are related to boredom? Does getting busy still fall into a void? Yeah, I would get really curious about what you think about being bored. You know, boredom is really just kind of what we decide. So getting busy, you're really the only one who will be able to know if getting busy, if you're actually avoiding what you're feeling, if you're avoiding the sensation, or if you are just allowing it to be part of your experience. So it's a lot of times with that allowing versus avoiding, it's really understanding kind of the energy behind it. Are you trying to get away from something, or are you, does it feel like, actually, I'm just kind of trying to like, address something. So you, again, that's kind of one of those things you will need to know. Okay. I just had an aha, want to switch it up. The food is the only, looks like there's a letter missing, Eddie, part of the get together. Not sure. I think that person has a typo. So, I'm not sure what that means. Okay. We are going to do some coaching. Christy, you are up. I'm going to promote you. Okay. Here comes Christy. Hello.
Yay. Hi. Hi. Is this okay? Like the light?
Yeah, totally fine.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. I'm just going to put my hand on my heart because this is very nerve-wracking, even though.
Yes, I love it. So yes, I love that. Put your hand on your heart. Let's go ahead and just take a deep breath in together. Just close your eyes if that feels okay to you. Just breathe in. Feel your lungs expand. Feel your heart. And then go ahead and take a nice long exhale, longer than the inhale. And just do one more time. Just inhale. Bring in gratitude for yourself. Nice long exhale. You can exhale out any worries, anything else. Just be right here.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course.
So I wrote down, I was hoping I could get coached. This is so awesome. Thank you, Jane. I have a question about planning suites for me. Because, and you and I have talked also because I have this dairy allergy, and more, I really think it's an intolerance, and the doctors have told me stay away from it. But then I'll binge on chocolate, and also I will end up not having like immediate effects, and so then it kind of like tricks my mind, and I've binged on chocolate. I'm 49. And so, you know, since I was like 14, 15, you know, it's a long entrenched thing, it feels. And you and I have talked, I'm in coaching now, and it's changing my life. It's just phenomenal. But I'm having a hard time because when I plan the suites, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes I say two times I'll have it, and I also visualize, I do a lot of things around it, but I'm just, so for instance, with all the Easter candy, I was planning, I just decided I'm just going to plan Easter candy, like, oh, well, just, and that's the other thing for me is the restriction. It's just playing this, it's like these mind games right now, and I can't seem to. So I've done your binge better. I've done trust your body. You know, I'm 3 years into this now, and I'm good at planning. But it's the whole restriction thing, and I've been dealing with that. I just didn't know. It's interesting because it's actually really comforting to hear more and more that like binging is an eating disorder. I really think I've had an eating disorder for a very long time, and there's something actually quite comforting about it. It's like it validates that for me. Mm. And so I know I'm working my way through this. It's like I had a great plan today, but then I was like, oh, I don't know how to plan sweets.
So it sounds like the question is how to plan sweets. Tell me this, as far as sweets goes, and you kind of thinking about like the future, what relationship would you like to have with sweets? Are we talking sweets? Are we talking chocolate? Are we talking,
That's a great question. Well, I experience my future self more and more, which is exciting, in that cake and ice cream and frosting used to be, it had that control over me, such power. And I've recognized that, and I've really seen wins where I'm not binging. So I've had like many times now where I'm not binging.
Amazing.
So I know. I think that is amazing. But then for our school, my husband and I give a big gift to our school. We do this huge Easter egg hunt. And so we end up having candy around for many weeks. And I hadn't had that candy around, and it was like, it just kept tripping me up, and I worked through that.
Let's talk about your future self. Your future self is every year at Easter. I mean, you have this event, you love doing it, right? We do this thing, we do it, we love it. It generally ends up with a whole lot of candy around the house. So your future self is going to have candy around the house. Your future self is going to go to Target. And I don't know what, at least 6, 7, 8 times a year, there's going to be some new display of all the holiday things, the special things and the candies. So what is your future self? What does your future self want to do with those candies in terms of what sort of relationship do you want to have with those things?
I know I want to be able to, I enjoy the taste. So I'm conflicted with that actually. And maybe that's something, it's my medical condition. Like I'm conflicted that and I've looked for lots of different chocolates. I've eliminated cheese from my diet, and figured out ways that I really enjoy food without cheese, and milk, but obviously the milk chocolate is what I like, and there's milk. So there's that whole issue, but I think like right now, as far as I'd like to be able to just have 2 or 3 of the little chocolates, right? Mm-hmm. And just stop. And I actually ended up breaking the cycle and doing the Effit workshop, or not workshop, the sheet before that little work, before the workshop. And it was tremendous and it was mind blowing and it really helped me. But then I continued on this. So many times in the last couple weeks, I don't even remember how many I ate in one day, you know?
So let me ask you this. So it sounds to me like the conflicted part is I really like these things. I really would like to have some relationship where I'm eating them in, you know, just kind of small amounts. But I also have this diagnosis where, you know, somebody else has told me like, you really shouldn't eat these things.
Yes.
So there's kind of like the, I want to, but somebody else says I shouldn't.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. So what's interesting to notice is you're actually eating them anyway.
I know.
Right. And you're eating them in larger quantities than what your kind of ideal is. But even your ideal is kind of like, ooh, I'm not really sure if I should because of this diagnosis and what other people have said.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Yes.
So what can be interesting is to just, it sounds to me like part of what's missing is just the decision of, all right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to become a person who just eats these things on this regular basis. And if I start to feel like crap, if I start to notice these other things in my body, I can totally adjust if I want to. But maybe, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how you'll feel. And quite honestly, your doctor doesn't really know how you'll feel either.
That's a really good point. Yeah.
We can take it. We can take anybody's advice for sure. I don't, please, nobody who is listening, hear me saying, don't go against your doctor's advice or go against your doctor's advice. But if here's what I'm hearing is the doctor saying you shouldn't eat that way is actually causing you to eat even more in that way. Because we kind of have this conflict of like, here's kind of where I want to be, but this is in conflict with what somebody else outside is telling me to do.
Yes.
I kind of think like, why don't we just come up with this thing you want for yourself? Okay. And if you do start after planning chocolate, Easter candy, whatever it is on the daily, if you are eating that regularly and you start feeling some physical symptoms, you personally will actually be motivated to say, oh, maybe actually I want to, maybe I want to make some adjustments here. Maybe this doesn't feel so good. You will want to do it, not from this place of I shouldn't. It will be from this place of, oh, I thought I actually really wanted this, but maybe I don't.
I love that. And I will say one thing that happens and that has happened, and I've definitely been in the shame guilt cycle. But I've been working hard on not restricting my next meal. I've been working hard on that. So I'll still have dinner, that kind of thing. And it won't be a salad or whatever it is that I would restrict or make it tiny. I find myself, so what happens is I get just awful acid reflux, but it's scarring in my esophagus and all this. I can actually feel it, but it's interesting because maybe this is, and maybe you can help me with this. It's like after like three or four of those little candies, that's when I start feeling it. It's almost like I can have a little bit and I don't notice, but then it's just, and I, what has been surprising to me, it's almost like I'm like stuffing it down then at that point. And it's like, I'm, it just feels like I'm abusing myself and I don't know where that's coming from. And I know that's kind of like deeper stuff. I'm not trying to extend our call. I'm just trying to think like in that it just, that's where it just feels so disordered and like, you know, an alcoholic just binging on a whole, you know, two bottles of wine, that kind of thing.
Here's one thing I want to say about the disorder. I mean, yes, for sure. There is absolutely a very official definition of binge eating disorder. We can go look at the DSM-5. We can read about it. There are absolutely behaviors that we do, things, there is for sure a diagnosis. But the question that I have is like, when you think like my eating is disordered, on the one hand, it does feel, it sounds like there's a little bit of comfort there from the like, oh, like this isn't just me. Like there really is, there's kind of a reason, right? There's some understanding there. But at the same time, there can also be like, if there's a disorder, sometimes we can kind of turn that into powerlessness. Like, oh, well, then I don't really have a choice. Many people who are diagnosed with disordered eating are told this is something you're just going to have to deal with. You're going to have to live with this for the rest of your life. You're going to just have to deal with it. I don't necessarily believe that's true. I believe that we can change our patterns. We can change our pathways, both, you know, because of neuroplasticity, the way we can absolutely shift the way that we are being around food, the way that we're thinking around food. But if we identify ourselves as somebody who has a disorder, it's much harder to then kind of step into the person who does not have that disorder.
I love that.
Because the disordered thinking comes from our patterns. It comes from repeated and habitual patterns of thinking and being around food. Totally. Yeah. But we can change that.
Okay.
We can change our patterns of thinking and being around food. Now, what that requires, it requires us looking at ourselves, looking at what we're doing in a different way, so that then we can respond in a different way. So for everybody who's listening, the biggest advice I have for you, the next time you find yourself in your pattern, whatever that pattern is, I don't care. The next time you find yourself in that pattern, just ask yourself the question, can I do something different this time?
Okay.
I don't care what the difference is.
Yeah.
If you usually eat 50, eat 48.
Okay. Oh,
if
I see.
If you usually think you have to finish everything that you're eating, prove to yourself that you can stop. Okay. If you usually eat, let's say you usually eat Reese's peanut butter cups, eat something else. Like, okay, literally, can I do something different? Change your pattern. Because what happens is we just go on autopilot. It's like, all right, well, I'm just going to do that thing that I always do, and I'm going to go into my pattern. We want to interrupt your pattern in any way you can. So that is advice for everybody. Now for you, Christy, to go back to your question that you started with.
Yeah.
I'm having a hard time planning sweets. I kind of feel like I want to, but then there's a restriction, but then there's what my doctor said. Mm-hmm. I would plan literally for you. I would plan something sweet twice a day.
Okay.
Plan it. You don't have to eat it.
Right.
Just decide like, what might that look like? And like, if you know, here are the times I usually binge, plan to have one of your sweet times during that time.
Okay.
Just be curious, like get super curious about it. Plan something and plan. Maybe you plan the same thing for like a week straight, and you get really curious, do I even like this thing?
Yes, that's true. Right.
Yeah.
Well, one thing that has changed for me big time since I've been doing this work is I don't have a desire for sweet at night ever. Mm, I mean, it's so interesting.
Yes.
And the same time of like 3 to 5, that's when I tend to binge.
Okay. Yes. So let's plan for sure. Plan a sweet between 3 and 5.
Okay.
And like give yourself permission to, and maybe you plan, it's like, okay, I can have anything I want, but I'm going to plan to have the same thing every day for a week just to get like really curious.
Okay.
And go, I mean, like go to the store and just like walk around. I literally have permission. I have permission to choose anything.
Yeah.
Get super curious. Figure out what you like. If you decide that thing you've planned, you don't even like, plan something, you know, like fine, change it, plan something else. But plan something every day, give yourself permission, get super curious about it. If you don't want it, don't have it. If you don't like it, change it up.
Okay. Oh, yeah. It feels just so much better. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you got it. Thank you for raising your hand. I am sure this was helpful for a lot of people.
Oh, so thanks.
Thank you. Let us know in the group how it goes.
Okay. Bye now.
All right. Okay. For everybody listening, when I just said, let us know in the group, if you are not aware, we have Mindy, as I say this, I'm bringing you on. We have a special group that is one of the subgroups within No BS called the Binge Support Subgroup. If you are not in there, I encourage you to get inside the Binge Support Subgroup. There is, it's just a place that is full of people who understand what it is like to binge. If you need support, if you ever find yourself wanting to binge, in the middle of a binge, after a binge, post in there. I am in there often, but more than me, there is just a community of people who understand and who know what it's like. So if you are not in the Binge Support Subgroup, I encourage you to get in there. All right, Mindy, hello.
Hi, Jane. How are you?
I'm great. It's nice to see you.
Nice to see you. Thank you for calling me up. I was
hoping
to get on with you last month, and it was kind of a last minute thought. So I've had some time to process what I want to talk about. But and I've been working on this over the last month as well. I've noticed that, and actually with the help of one of my accountability partners, she's helped me with some thought work, that when I'm binging, I'm actually doing it. And I know it's probably common to a lot of people. I binge most often when I'm alone. And so in working through the thought work, I've come up with the conclusion that it goes back kind of to the judgment side that you were talking about at the beginning, but it's not so much judgment for me, how I'm judging myself, it's how other people are judging me. And when I'm alone, nobody can see it, nobody can judge it, nobody can say anything about what I'm eating. So, and it happens a lot, and I'm really trying to work on the thought work behind it. And, you know, going through, even taking it through the four N's, I have a really hard time coming up with that next best decision or that next best thought to stop it. So it's not so critical and such a part of my process, you know. But
yeah,
I mean, I see it everywhere and I feel it everywhere, even to the point, you know, where it's at every constant meal that I sit with at my husband, you know, what's he going to say if I decide I want the nachos versus the salad or, you know, something like that. And so I always find myself giving into it and not really doing what I want to do because of it and not eating what I want to eat because of it. So
let me ask you this. Are people actually saying things about your food choices, or is it what you are imagining they are thinking about your food choices?
They're not saying anything, but I was also raised in a very judgmental home. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I adored my mother. She did the best she could and she did what she thought was right for me as I was growing up, but I was always on a diet. I was always being judged by my food choices. She always put, you know, had me get on the scale in front of her, you know. So I've got a lot of diet trauma that I know where it comes from. To the point where when things got tough when I was young, I retreated to eating alone. I would grab the Oreos and go sit in the closet and eat the Oreos where nobody could see, you know. So this is a long time that I've been working through this. But going back to your question, nothing is ever really said, but I notice things like if I take my bowl to the table, my husband will look at it and see what I'm eating, you know, how much I'm eating, how much I've served myself. And that's when I feel it. So I've got to find a way to process those thoughts so that I can get past it.
So this makes so much sense, right? I mean, it's like, just put your hand on your heart and just, Mindy, this makes so much sense. Like, of course.
Yeah.
Of course, you would expect that other people are judging you and judging your choices because that's what you knew. That's what you grew up with.
Yeah.
So it's what you look for. And of course, you would want to eat in secret and eat these things that you think you shouldn't be eating in secret because you think other people are judging you.
Right.
Yes, of course. So it makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. So we can see it. We can have compassion for ourselves. For that, it's like, oh gosh, like how hard that must have been for you as a child to be judged for your choices, to be placed on a scale and determined if you were good or bad based upon how much you weighed. Mm-hmm. Of course. And so then you're still looking for that, right? The people who are closest to you, then you look for them to be judging you. Mm-hmm. Now, you're like,
ironic on that note is, I lost my mom about a year and a half ago. And prior to that, I've been in OBS for a while. I had lost about 50 pounds. And as soon as she passed, I put back on half of that weight, which I think kind of speaks volumes as to, you know, where a lot of that, almost that relief came from. But I need to move forward. So,
So let me ask you this. If there's a couple of things. One, your brain is you. So our brains, just for everybody, your brain, everybody's brain will always find evidence for whatever it believes to be true. So to go back to the prior example, if you believe you are a disordered eater, guess what you're going to find? Disorder in your eating. If you believe that everybody else is judging you, guess what you're going to find? You are going to find all of the evidence that people are judging you. Oh my gosh, they're looking at what I have in my cart. They're looking at what I, you know, oh my gosh, the waiter is noticing and judging me like what I ordered, right? We're going to our brain. The brain doesn't care. It literally does not care what you think about and what evidence it comes up with. But whatever we put our brain to work on, it will create evidence for whatever. Mm-hmm. So we have to be so, so careful with the evidence that we look for. So right now, your brain, this is just, it, of course, it's happening, but your brain has been looking for evidence since you were a child that you are being judged for your choices. And so then, of course, not only do you see other people judging, you judge yourself. And then we're like in this cycle. And then when you're by yourself, it's like, whew, nobody's judging me now. I'm going to eat all the things in secret. And like, just because that's what I've done, that's what I know, like, here we go. Right. So number one is going to be for you to literally look for evidence that other people are actually not judging your food, not judging your choices.
What would that look like? I mean, because I'm so used to looking for the judgment and worrying about the judgment, I don't even pay attention to what that would look like.
Yes, right? Isn't that amazing? It's so amazing that you even noticed that. You're like, wow, I have no idea what that would look like. I can't even, this is where we know we're kind of onto ourselves because the brain almost gets frozen, right? It's kind of like, yeah. So what you could do, for example, is let's say you sit down and you're like, oh, there he goes again. He is looking at my bowl and thinking like, you put way too much food in your bowl. Like, I can't believe you're going to eat all of that. Let's say that's what your brain thought. So you could just ask him like, hey, I'm just curious. What are you thinking about right now? Like curiosity. Right? I love the antidote to judgment is curiosity.
Okay.
So if you're sure that people are judging you, and then here's what happens. It's like they're judging, we're just sure that they're judging us. It's generally whenever we think someone else is thinking something about us, it's generally what we're already thinking about ourselves. Yeah. So you're generally actually already having these judgments about yourself, and then you're confident that other people are having those judgments too. Yeah. So the antidote to judgment is curiosity. You can get curious with them. Like, hey, I'm curious. Like, what are you thinking right now? And let's say he's like, this could very well be true. He could be like, I'm not thinking anything. This happens like 50% of the time I ask my husband. So what are you thinking? He's like, nothing. So that may very well be the case, but then you could, depending on the relationship you have with your husband, you could say, so what my, you know, like, here's what's going on in my brain. In my brain, I am thinking that you are judging me for how much is in my bowl. Like, is that even true? Mm-hmm. And he might say, oh yeah, girl, that's exactly what I was thinking. He might say, no, I was actually thinking that I can't wait to, you know, watch the game or whatever, right? The more we can do this, the more you just gather evidence. And I'm going to tell you, odds are excellent. Very few people are actually judging you in the way that you really think they are. Because we're all just judging ourselves, like literally.
Yeah.
Generally is what's happening. Yeah. And if you weren't feeling like everybody else was judging, then we're still going to have to work on the judgment you are having for yourself. Mm-hmm. But right now what's coming up for you is like, oh, I'm so sure everybody else is judging me. So then it's like, I need this space where I'm by myself, where nobody else is judging me, mm-hmm. so that I can eat by myself. So we want to start first with the, let's find some evidence that all these people that you think are judging you really aren't. Mm-hmm. That's the first, like, it's really kind of the untruth that you are so convinced is happening and like literally feels so true. And it makes sense. It totally makes sense why you would think that. But now it's like, let's use your brain to find, like, I literally want you to put your brain to work on, okay, am I willing? And let me ask you this question. Are you willing to be wrong about the idea that all these other people are judging what you are eating.
Of course. I mean, I would love to be wrong at that. And that's why I want to come up with that next best thought, you know, to take me, to help me get through those circumstances where I, those thoughts do come up, and just reminding myself that, oh yeah, I have already proven that this is, this is not the case.
Yes. So right now your next best thought is, I'm going to use my brain to find evidence that this isn't true.
Okay.
So it's like, so you're going to notice, okay, here goes my brain again, assuming that everybody's judging me, or assuming my husband's judging me, or assuming that whoever, there mm-hmm. it goes again, this assumption that people are judging me. Mm-hmm. So you're going to notice that. You're going to normalize, of course, this is happening. I have been judged for my food choices since I was a small child. Of course. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're going to normalize. So we notice, we're going to normalize, we're going to neutralize it. It's like, I have sentences again. Here mm-hmm. are these sentences, right? Sentences in my mind. And I have a human brain. Mm-hmm. I can use what I know about the brain to go find other evidence. Mm-hmm. So my next best thought is, I am going to search for evidence that maybe these people actually aren't judging me. And I'm going to do that with curiosity.
Okay.
Like, huh, what do you think? Like, what are you thinking right now?
That's a great question. Mike, I guess my next question would be is, what if he's thinking, God, you took a lot of food.
Okay. Yeah. And let's answer that. Like, let's say he's like, wow, I'm thinking you must be hungry. You took a lot of food.
Yeah.
And so if he says, I'm thinking you took a lot of food, like, wow, that's a big bowl of whatever. Then you could say, okay. And then what? Like, so what are you thinking about that?
What does that mean? Yeah.
What does that mean? Like, yeah. So, okay. Tell me more. What else? Like what? And so what? Like, then what? Like, what do you make that mean?
Yeah.
Get curious there.
Very helpful.
Yeah. So for everybody listening, use your brain. Your brain will find evidence. If you know there is something in your life that your brain is constantly finding evidence for, put your brain to work on what else could be true. How else could that be true? So let's say you are putting your brain to work on the ways in which you are out of control around food. It's like, okay, brain, I'm gonna use my knowledge about the brain to my advantage. So I'm gonna find all the ways I actually have control with food. Here's what happens. Those of us that binge, we can kind of be all or nothing about things, right? And it's like, oh, I'm so out of control. I have, you know, whatever. When really 22 hours of the day, we have this amazing, great, calm, relaxed, peaceful relationship with food. And like, there's 2 hours of the day where it feels a little frenzied and different and out of control or whatever. What do? It's like, we make that 2 hours or whatever it is for you, that we make that our entire being. But we don't even like put time, attention, and evidence on all the other times that food actually feels kind of natural.
Yeah.
Right? So look for evidence that the opposite is true.
I'm writing all this down.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. That put it into a very different perspective for me. Yeah. And I appreciate it.
So. Yes. And thank you for raising your hand. I know you are not the only one experiencing this. So thank you for just raising your hand and getting coached. I know it will be super helpful for a lot of people.
Great.
All right.
All right. Jane.
Thank you, Mindy. Okay. Bye-bye. Okay. We're going to do one more. Pam. Let's see. We are bringing Pam on. I think we're going to bring Pam on. Here she comes, Pam. Okay, I'm going to answer a quick question while Pam is coming on. So here's somebody who says, it feels like the urge happens so quickly and I'm in the kitchen before I have any awareness of what thought brought me in there. So in that case, you don't have to know the thought that brings you, the thought that precedes the urge. When you can pause, anytime you can give yourself just a little bit more space between the when you have that thought, whether you know what it is or not, it might just be like, ooh, cookies, ooh, chips, ooh, let's go eat. It could be as simple as that. But anytime you give yourself space between that initial thought and when you actually make the decision of what to do, or you go to the pantry, you just give yourself time and space. So if all you do is say, you know what, I'm just going to give myself 5 minutes. I'm just going to pause. I'm going to give myself 5 minutes to just check in. I'm going to set a timer. Yes, I can totally go into the pantry, but I'm going to set a timer for right now. I'm going to put my hand on my heart. I'm going to ask myself a couple of questions. And in 5 minutes, if I want to go, I will, but at least I will have some data and some information to take with me. What we want to prevent is being on autopilot. It feels like autopilot because we've done it so many times. Whatever you can do to take away the auto in autopilot, become the pilot of your experience. Okay. Pam, hello.
Hi. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. A little nervous because I've never been coached before. So,
well, thank you for raising your hand. Yes, of course.
So I think I'm not totally unique, but I might be unique in this group. I had weight loss surgery about 6.5 years ago. Okay. I'm in an accountability group that we all sort of, I can't say, some of us really struggle with how to figure out what is real hunger and what is what in the weight loss surgery world we call head hunger. And I will, for somebody who hasn't had weight loss surgery, you'd never get it because it's a totally weird thing. So most of the time I'm actually not hungry. So we have to balance that with, I have to eat something. And the other thing that we need to balance it with is, you know, we have nutritional guidelines that say you should, because we have malabsorption. So we don't absorb everything that you would under in a normal stomach. So you're supposed to get like 50 to 60 grams of protein a day.
Okay.
For me to eat 50 or 60 grams of protein, I need to eat way more than I'm hungry. So,
okay.
And I don't know how to balance that. And, you know, I will also, so I had surgery. I lost about 130 pounds. I've regained 45, 50, and wish I had done no BS while I was doing the surgery. Cause if I had done it in the reverse, I wouldn't be having this conversation. But that being said, like, how do you balance what you need to do with what's, you know, because I can easily convince myself that I have room for chocolate cake, but I may not have room for another piece of chicken, right? Mm-hmm. And chicken is one of the things that fills me up immediately to the point that it's almost unsatisfying because there's not a big eating experience. So you've
answered some of your question about the head hunger, right? It's kind of like head hunger is, I can make room for this. I can make room for all kinds of this. Chocolate cake, the experience, right? Like those types of things are more head hunger. Head hunger for somebody, to make this relevant for somebody who hasn't had weight loss surgery, when we talk about physical hunger versus head hunger or emotional hunger, head hunger, emotional hunger, mental hunger, whatever you want to call it, is often very urgent. It often feels like it needs to be responded to right this minute. It often is for something very specific, like chocolate cake. It's like, how about some chicken breast? No, chicken breast, no. But chocolate cake, yes, I will eat that. I'll eat a big piece of that, but no, I won't eat, you know, however many ounces of chicken breast, right? So that's where you know the difference. If chicken breast is not appealing at all, then that is not physical hunger isn't present. With physical hunger is different things can satisfy physical hunger. there are different options. It's like, oh yeah, okay, I could. And there, we still, of course, will have preferences, but physical hunger can come and go in waves. It is generally more quiet, and it generally can be satisfied by a number of different things. What I find is if you don't know if it is head hunger or physical hunger, it's generally head hunger. What I find is physical hunger is, it's kind of pretty obvious when we're having physical hunger.
Yeah, but even so, as a bariatric patient, even physical hunger is really sort of subtle.
Yeah.
Right. So and I had surgery like 6.5 years ago, and, mm-hmm. People say your pouch stretches. It doesn't stretch. You just make choices that probably aren't conducive to long-term weight loss with this, mm-hmm. right? So, because I can eat chocolate cake. I just had dinner and I had maybe 2 ounces, 3 ounces of chicken with some vegetables. I don't need to eat again. I won't need to eat again until tomorrow morning, late in the morning. However, I haven't gotten enough protein for the day, and I sure as heck will figure out how to have a snack.
So what prevents you from eating the protein that is recommended for the best absorption for your body?
Because the cake sounds way better.
Hmm.
Right. And that's really the.
Yeah. So then the question just becomes, do I want to be a person who eats based on what sounds good? Or do I want to be a person who eats based on what is going to provide the best nutrients to my body? You get to choose. The answer is totally up to you. You can eat anything you want, anytime you want. Yes, your body is going to process things in a different way because of the surgery that you've had and because of that, absolutely, it will process differently. But you deciding, I just prefer like cake, I just enjoy eating cake more than I enjoy eating chicken. I mean, a lot of people do.
Yeah, I mean, it slides down a lot easier. I mean that very sincerely.
Right, right, right.
There are things that they call slider foods.
Yep, I understand. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's all slider foods, and it goes through you, but it's digested relatively easy.
Right. So here's the question. You are a bariatric patient. Absolutely. You're a bariatric patient. You have things that you need to make decisions on for your overall body. You get to choose anything you want. If you prefer choosing slider foods, you totally can.
Yeah, but it's not nutrition wise. I know that it's not the right decision for me, right? Because if you don't eat enough protein, there are long-term implications from that.
Well, and you don't have to look at it though as right and wrong decisions. It's like, what is the most supportive decision
right.
for me?
Sure. Yeah. And my wording is always because, I've been on a diet for my entire life. It's all bad food, good food, right food, wrong food. So my other question is, so even though I'm not hungry, it really is okay to say, yeah, I do actually need to eat, even though there's no actual physical hunger because of these nutritional requirements.
I mean, I'm not a doctor, so I really can't tell you in terms of if, and I don't know enough about the body's needs after weight loss surgery. Mm-hmm. I know, but I can give you an analogy for myself as an athlete. I have certain guidelines for myself as an athlete that I try to bring in terms of grams of protein, just overall, like in general. I am not always, it's not always what I would choose if I were making decisions based on what sounds good to eat today, but I make those choices for overall my athletic performance. And so, I do that. Do I do that all the time, every time? No. Do I eat like beyond some place of comfort? No. But again, it's really going to be kind of up to you. And you could experiment. You could experiment with like, all right, you know what? I'm going to experiment with for a week. I'm going to eat based on these guidelines and just see what comes up. I'm going to experiment for a week doing this and see what comes up. Then I'm going to experiment doing this. Nobody knows your body better than you. So we have guidelines. The doctors can tell us certain things. Other experts can tell us certain things, but nobody is in your body. True. So if you are doing something that somebody else says is a great idea for XYZ reason, and you try it and it does not feel good or supportive to you, nobody knows that better than you. When anybody gives guidelines and suggestions, including Corinne, it's based upon, she is talking to the masses. She is talking to a large group of people. So you and everybody listening, it's always up to you individually to know what your body is telling you about what's going on. It's like, and you, it sounds like you are very informed. You know what's happening. And it sounds like you kind of have this balance between, okay, here's what I know about the science. Here's what I know about what's happening in my body. Here's what I know about my needs. And I really love chocolate cake. Right? So it's like, okay, as a bariatric patient, you take all that information and you just get to decide how you want to eat, what kind of person you want to be as an eater. Do I want to be somebody who prioritizes cake over chicken? Maybe I do. Here's what I love to say. Know your reason and like your reason. You can choose anything you want. Just know why and like your reason. And if you don't like your reason, just get curious about it until you come up with a reason that you like and feels good. That's not a, this is what I'm supposed to do, because that never feels good.
And you know, to quite frankly, it's interesting because we're in this Marco Polo group and we go back and forth about, you know, when I was in the throes of the bariatric diet, it was a very prescribed plan and you ate this and you ate this and the weight fell off me. And a lot of it was because, you know, I had just had surgery and I was consuming far fewer calories than I had been. And, you know, all of that stuff, and you have no, you really have no appetite. And so to revert, and then all the bad habits, and I will call them bad habits, if habits that brought me to the place where I needed bariatric surgery, all of my eating habits, not all of them returned, but enough of them returned to have this regain. And, you know, it'd be easier in my head if I just had a script to follow. And I know I don't have a script to follow. And
doesn't everybody, I mean, but whether you've had weight loss surgery or not, I think that is a, it is a thought that so many people have. I wish I just had a script. Wouldn't somebody just tell me what to do? Like, I wish somebody would just show up and cook all of my meals and take care of everything for me, right? Like, you know, just Oprah had that. Like, I wish that would be great, whatever, right? That's not, it's just not the way that it works. And it sounds nice and it sounds pleasant, but actually even that thought, like, I wish somebody would just give me a script, kind of actually takes away our own autonomy, our own choices, our own knowing ourselves. And this isn't to say you can't eat cake at all. Maybe you find some way to add a little more protein to your cake and you, you know, I mean, there's so many different ways and so many different things that you could do, but it's really just deciding what do I want to do for this body that has had bariatric surgery. Yes, you are unique in that you've had bariatric surgery, but that doesn't make any, like, now it's just what you have. And now you get to just use what you have, all the knowledge that you have with your facts, as well as what you have here in No BS. There are a lot of people in No BS who have also had weight loss surgery. So you can use that community and that support to come up with what really works for you and what feels really good for you.
Okay.
While also maintaining the weight that you want.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for raising your hand. All right, everybody. That is what I have for you today. Thank you so much for joining me. I will see you guys in the Binge Support group on Facebook and also right here for the Binge Call next month. All right. Bye.